You are listening to the Foundational Biblical Teaching Ministry podcast. The mission of the Foundational Biblical Teaching Ministry is to encourage Christians and non-believers to study the foundational principles in the Bible to be able to know what you believe and why you believe it. Our mission is to equip God's people for the work of serving and building up the body of Christ and to become more effective witnesses and save souls for Christ. Ephesians 4:11 and 12. And now we have Dr. Ben Pennington, founder and president of the Foundational Biblical Teaching Ministry.
Welcome everyone to today's podcast. My name is Dr. Ben Pennington. The mission of the Foundational Biblical Teaching Ministry is to encourage Christians and non-believers to study the foundational principles in the Bible so they will be able to know what they believe and why they believe it. Our mission is to equip God's people for the work of serving and building up the body of Christ and to become more effective witnesses and save souls for Christ. That's Ephesians 4:11 through 12. Our ministry podcasts are covering lessons on foundational biblical doctrines and principles in the Bible, from the doctrine of creation in Genesis to the return of Christ in the book of Revelation. We upload blogs, study guides, and answer sheets each week that accompany our podcast to help you study the Word of God so you will know what you believe and why you believe it. But before we launch into our series of lessons covering these doctrines, we're continuing our initial five-part podcast series where we are presenting evidence that our Holy Bible is the actual Word of God. In our first installment titled The Uniqueness of the Holy Bible, we presented evidence with respect to the very unique methods and circumstances under which our Bible was created. And we concluded that God's hand was clearly involved in the creation of the Bible. In our second podcast titled The Authority of Scripture, we gave evidence that our Holy Bible is authoritative and contains the actual words of God. In our third podcast titled The Inspiration of Scripture, we presented evidence that the entire Holy Bible from Genesis 1 to Revelation 22 is God-breathed and that the holy men of God wrote as they were moved by the Holy Spirit. And we concluded that even though men of God wrote the books contained in the Bible, the Holy Spirit is the actual author. In our fourth podcast, titled The Reliability of Scripture, we looked at the bibliography test, the internal evidence test, and the external evidence test used by researchers to determine the reliability of ancient documents. We analyzed our Bible through the standards used in these three tests and concluded that there is no other book of antiquity that can stand up to the reliability of our Holy Bible as measured by ancient document research standards. With respect to reliability, our Holy Bible is in a class by itself. God has done an excellent job in preserving His Holy Word, and you can download all of our podcasts, blogs, study guides, and answer sheets at www.foundationalbtm.org. And with that being said, in today's fifth installment, I will present evidence on the canon of Scripture. Canon is spelled C-A-N-O-N, the canon of Scripture. Why do we have 66 books in our Holy Bible and not 65? And not 67. What standards were used to include these specific books and not other books into the Bible? Are there any lost books that should be included into our Bible? Jude chapter 1 verse 3 says, "Beloved, when I gave all diligence to write unto you of the common salvation, it was needful for me to write unto you and exhort you that you should earnestly contend for the faith which was once delivered to the saints." Earnestly contend for the faith which was once delivered to the saints. John chapter 10, 27 puts it this way. John chapter 10, 27. "My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me." So what are we saying? We're saying that the faith that we should earnestly contend for is the truth that's found in the Holy Scriptures. As Christians, we must be clear on exactly what is Scripture so we can accurately determine biblical truths from biblical error. A canon, once again, that's spelled C-A-N-O-N. A canon refers to a rule or law or standard with regards to matters concerning the church. The canon of Scripture refers to standards used to determine which books were included into the Holy Bible. It should be noted that men did not decide the canon of Scripture. Church leaders were inspired in selecting the books in the canon and brought about God's will to form our Holy Bible. Early church councils, when considering which books were to be included in the Holy Bible, had several standards that aided their decisions. So let's take a look at these standards. Standard number one, did the Holy Spirit inspire the writings? 2 Timothy 3:16-17 says, all scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto all good works. Let's hear what 2 Peter 1:20-21 has to say about this. 2 Peter 1:20-21 says, knowing this first, that no prophecy of Scripture is of any private interpretation, for prophecy never came by will of man, but holy men of God spoke as they were moved by the Holy Spirit. So what are we saying? 2 Peter 1:20-21 is saying, when you look at the books in the Bible, even though Peter's name may be on it, or Jeremiah, or any prophet's name on it, yes, they wrote the book, but they wrote the book as they were moved by the Holy Spirit. So in all actuality, the author of the Holy Bible is the Holy Spirit. And all books are God-breathed. So the inspiration standard is met in all the books of the Bible. Let's look at the second standard. Was prophecy contained in the author's writings? The authors of the Old Testament mention numerous prophecies made by God, and the New Testament authors mention numerous prophecies made by Jesus Christ. There are more than 100 prophecies made in the book of Isaiah that were fulfilled by Jesus Christ in the New Testament. Let me give you one example. Isaiah 7:14. Therefore, the Lord himself shall give you a sign. Behold, a virgin shall conceive and bear a son and shall call his name Emmanuel. Let's talk about the fulfillment of this prophecy. Go with me to Matthew 1:21-23. And she shall bring forth a son, and thou shalt call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins. Now all this was done that it might be fulfilled, which was spoken by the Lord, by the prophet, saying, behold, a virgin shall be with child and shall bring forth a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel, which being interpreted is God with us. There is prophecy in almost every Old Testament book. Fulfilled prophecy is powerful, compelling evidence for the authority, inspiration, and reliability of Scripture. The prophecy standard is met by the books in our Holy Bible. Let's look at another standard. Did the authors reference or quote God in their writings? Almost all of the Old Testament books contain direct references or quotations from God, and all of the New Testament books either reference or contain direct quotations from Jesus Christ. For example, here's the first quotation of God found in Genesis 1:3. And God said, let there be light, and there was light. When you look at the books in the Bible, they will tell you exactly what God said and will quote God. Let me give you the last reference to Jesus Christ that was found in Revelation 22:18-20, the last reference to Jesus Christ. For I testify to every man that heareth the words of prophecy of this book. If any man shall add to these things, God shall add to him the plagues that are written in this book. And if any man shall take away from the words of this book of prophecy, God shall take away his part out of the book of life and out of the holy city and from the things which are written in this book. He which testifieth these things saith, surely I come quickly. Amen. Even so, come, Lord Jesus. So what are we saying? I'm saying that the referencing or quoting God's standard is met by the books contained in the Holy Bible. Let's look at a fourth standard. Is there internal agreement between the books in the Bible, the 66? The books in the Holy Bible are in internal agreement if they refer to and confirm scriptures found in the other books. You can cross-reference major biblical doctrines, character, and events within the collection of the 66 books. Jesus Christ made many references in the Gospels to Old Testament doctrine, characters, and events. Consider this quote from Jesus found in Matthew 24, 36 through 39. But of that day and hour, no one knows, not even the angels of heaven, but my Father only. But as the days of Noah were, so also will the coming of the Son of Man be. For as in the days before the flood, they were eating and drinking and marrying and giving in marriage until the day that Noah entered the ark and did not know until the flood came and took them all away. So also will be the coming of the Son of Man. What are we saying? In this passage of Scripture, Jesus is talking about his eventual return. He references the account of Noah and the flood in the book of Genesis. This is an example of Scripture confirming Scripture. There are over 290 separate references to Old Testament scriptures found in the New Testament. The New Testament writers quote from 34 of the 39 books in the Old Testament. Jesus quoted from 24 different Old Testament books. The canonized collection of the books contained in the Holy Bible meet the internal agreement standard. So let's look at a fifth standard. Are the books dynamic and able to change the life of the reader? Go with me to Hebrews 4:12. For the word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit and of the joints and manner, and is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. So what am I saying? I'm saying that all of the 66 books contained in our Bible are living and powerful and are sharper than any two-edged sword. The scriptures are more than words that have been written and placed in the book. The scriptures are private letters addressed to you by God. The scriptures are the actual voice of God jumping off the page and speaking directly to you. The scriptures make it very personal. The scriptures will guide you and instruct you into all truth. The books contained in our Holy Bible meet the dynamic and able to change the life of the reader standard. In conclusion, the 39 books of the Old Testament and the 27 books of the New Testament are all inspired and God-breathed. The books contain numerous prophecies and were written by holy men of God as they were moved by the Holy Spirit. The books reference or directly quote God or Jesus Christ. The 66 books of the Bible are internally consistent and confirm each other. The books are living, they are powerful, and they are sharper than any two-edged sword. Let's take a look at other books that were in existence at the time of the Bible was canonized, that were either rejected or excluded. Malachi chapter 4 marks the end of the Old Testament. In Malachi chapter 4, verses 5 and 6 goes as follows. Behold, I will send you Elijah the prophet before the coming of the great and dreadful day of the Lord, and he shall turn the hearts of the fathers to the children and the heart of the children to their fathers, lest I come and smite the earth with a curse. What I just read were the last words of God, the last words of God spoken in the Old Testament. This prophecy was fulfilled in John the Baptist, as recorded in Luke 1. You can go with me if you want to. Luke 1:17. And he shall go forth before him in the spirit of the power of Elijah to turn the hearts of the fathers to the children and the disobedient to the wisdom of the just, to make ready a people prepared for the Lord. So Malachi's last prophecy was written in 420 BC. The preaching of John the Baptist was in 25 AD. So think about that. 420 BC, last word from Malachi. First word of prophecy in the New Testament was from John the Baptist around 25 AD. This period of time when God was silent and when there was no prophetic word from God is called the intertestamental period, or the period of time after the end of the Old Testament and before the beginning of the New Testament. Let me run that by you one more time. This period of time when God was silent and when there was no prophetic word from God, from 420 BC to 25 AD, is called the intertestamental period, or the period of time after the end of the Old Testament with Malachi and before the beginning of the New Testament with Matthew. I think I should also say that Christianity grew out of Judaism. Although their Bibles are arranged in a different sequence, the Christian Bible and the Jewish Bible contains the same 39 Old Testament books. Christians and Jews agree that God spoke through his prophets. Christians and Jews agree that the last Old Testament prophet was Malachi. Christian and Jews agree that there was no prophet and no prophecy during the 400-year intertestamental period when God was silent. It was during this 400-year intertestamental period when God was silent that the books called the Apocrypha were written. The Apocrypha, let me spell that for you, A-P-O-C-R-Y-P-H-A. It was during this 400-year intertestamental period when God was silent that the books called the Apocrypha were written. The Apocrypha is a Greek word meaning hidden things, hidden things. The Apocrypha books were 1st and 2nd Esdras, Tobit, Judith, additions to Esther, the Wisdom of Solomon, Ecclesiasticus, also known as the Wisdom of Jesus, son of Sirach, Baruch, the letter of Jeremiah, the Song of the Three Holy Children, Susanna, Bel and the Dragon, additions to Daniel, or the Prayer of Azariah, the Prayer of Manasseh, 1 Maccabees, and 2 Maccabees. These books are often referred to as the Deuterocanonical books. Let me run that by you one more time. These books are often referred to as the Deuterocanonical books. Let me spell that for you. Deuterocanonical. D-E-U-T-E-R-O-C-A-N-O-N-I-C-A-L. These books are often referred to as the Deuterocanonical books, also known as the Second Canon. The Roman Catholic Church has maintained that these books of the Apocrypha, also known as the Deuterocanonical books, are inspired and carry the same authority as the 39 canonized books in the Christian Holy Bible and the Jewish Holy Bible. The Roman Catholic Church has added these books of the Apocrypha to their Bible and consider them inspired and scripture and on the same level with the 39 books in our Old Testament. None of the apocryphal writers laid claim that their writings were inspired by God. The Jews never acknowledged that the apocryphal books as scripture or being inspired. The apocryphal books contain statements that contradict foundational biblical Christian doctrine. For example, the apocryphal writers maintain that you can be saved after death through a sin offering, if you give up some money, and encourages believers to pray for the dead for their salvation. The apocryphal writers maintain that you are saved by your works or good deeds, and that believers can defeat the work of Satan through witchcraft. The apocryphal writers also claim that Mary, the mother of Jesus, was immaculately conceived and was without sin. As such, Catholics pray to Mother Mary for the forgiveness of sins. The apocryphal writers teach immoral practices, including lying, suicide, and magical incantation. There are 250 New Testament references to Old Testament books, but there are no references to the apocryphal books in the New Testament. During the intertestamental period, another classification of books were written called the pseudepigraphal writings. The pseudepigrapha, or false writings, were written largely in the 2nd century by men using the names of the apostles. The pseudepigraphal books include the Epistle of Barnabas, the 1st and 2nd Epistle of Clement to the Corinthians, the Letter to the Smyrnians, also known as the Martyrdom of Polycarp, the Shepherd of Hermas, the Book of Enos, the Gospel of Judas. Just think about that, the Gospel of Judas, the person who betrayed Christ, who Christ called and claim was the devil from the beginning. The Gospel of Judas, the Gospel of Thomas, the Psalms of Solomon, the Odes of Solomon, the Testaments of the 12 Patriarchs, 2 Baruch, the books of Adam and Eve, the Acts of Philip, the Apocalypse of Peter, the Gospel of the Nativity of Mary, the Gospel of Nicodemus, the Gospel of the Savior's Infancy, the History of Joseph the Carpenter, the Acts of Paul, the seven epistles of Ignatius, and the Epistle of Polycarp to the Philippians. The pseudepigraphal books are often mentioned on the History Channel and the Discovery Channel on television as the lost books of the Bible. But I have news for you. These books were not lost. They were rejected because they're false. Humans are known to lose their keys, their wallets, their cell phones, and other items. However, humans are not God. God did not lose any of his books. God's word will not return to him void, but it will accomplish what he pleases. Jesus said, heaven and earth shall pass away, but his words will not pass away. And God also gave us a warning about adding to or taking away from his words in Revelation 22. Revelation 22, 18 and 19 says this, for I testify unto every man that heareth the words of prophecy of this book. If any man shall add to these things, God shall add to him the plagues that are written in this book. And if any man shall take away from the words of this book of prophecy, God shall take away his part out of the book of life and out of the holy city and from the things which are written in this book. So let's sum it up, our lesson for today. The canon of Scripture refers to the standards used to determine which books were included into the Holy Bible. The canonized books had to be inspired by the Holy Spirit. They had to contain prophecy or quoted or reference God. They had to have internal agreement with the other Scriptures in the books. And the Scriptures had to confirm other Scriptures. The books had to be quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword. The last Old Testament prophet was Malachi. The next prophetic word in our Holy Bible was from John the Baptist, confirming the prophecy of Malachi 4, verses 5 and 6. In this 400-year period of time, when God was silent and did not speak, and there was no prophet or no prophecy, was called the intertestamental period. The books contained in the Apocrypha were written during the intertestamental period when no prophet of God was writing. These books were not inspired and did not meet the standard for canonization met by the other 66 books and definitely the 39 in the Old Testament. The Apocrypha writings contradict many foundational biblical doctrines contained in the canonized books. The Roman Catholic Church has included these books in the Catholic Bible and has maintained that they are inspired and carry the same authority as the 66 canonized books. The pseudepigraphal writings, or false writings, were written largely in the second century by men using the names of the apostles. The pseudepigraphal books, like the Apocrypha books, do not meet the standard for canonization. These pseudepigraphal books are often mentioned on the History Channel and the Discovery Channel on television as the lost books of the Bible. These books were not lost, they were rejected. There are 250 New Testament references to Old Testament books, but there are no references to the apocryphal books or the pseudepigraphal books in the New Testament. This concludes our five-part series where we presented evidence to prove that a Holy Bible is indeed the words of God. As Christians, it's critical that we know what we believe and why we believe it. Please share this podcast on your social network. If after hearing today's podcast, you've decided to accept Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, please repeat the salvation prayer. Heavenly Father, I come to you today as a sinner. I believe that Jesus Christ is God, and I believe that God raised Jesus from the dead. I'm asking for salvation through the shed blood of Jesus Christ on the cross. I accept him now as my personal Lord and Savior. I'm asking that you create in me a clean heart and renew within me a right spirit. I pray that I will lead a new life that will glorify and honor you daily. In the name of Jesus, I thank you and praise you. Amen. 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 If you have accepted Christ, please visit our website at www.foundationalbtm.org. Click on the Salvation tab and download the ABCs of Salvation document, along with the article, The Next Steps After Salvation. If you have any questions about the content discussed in today's podcast, or if you are seeking an answer to a specific Bible question, you can send me an email. Also, we're available for speaking engagements, conferences, and workshops. My email address is drben@foundationalbtm.org. That's drben@foundationalbtm.org. Please share our podcast on your social network platforms.
If you want additional information on today's podcast topic, feel free to visit our website at www.foundationalbtm.org and download our study guide and answer sheet that accompanies today's podcast topic. We upload new blogs, podcast study guides, and answer sheets weekly. If you would like to be notified when new materials have been uploaded, just click on the subscribe tab on our website. We are a listener-supported ministry. Please help the Foundational Biblical Teaching Ministry continue the work of teaching Bible lessons that equip us with information to help us know what we believe and why we believe it. You can make a donation to help the ongoing work of our ministry by visiting our website at www.foundationalbtm.org. That's FoundationalBTM.org. And click on the donation tab. Your generous contribution will be greatly appreciated and will help us continue the work of this ministry. And now, back to Dr. Ben.
2 Timothy 2:15 says, "Study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman need not be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth." Did you know that our Bible has been translated into more than 2,500 languages? Did you know that there are over 50 different English translations of the Bible? There's the King James Version, the New King James Version, the New Revised Standard Version, the American Standard Version, and 46 other versions. Why do we have so many different translations? How do I choose the best translation for me? When should I have my personal Bible study? Where should I have my personal Bible study? What books in the Bible or what topics in the Bible should I study first? What Bible study tools do I need? I'm glad you asked. In our next podcast, titled Study to Show Thyself Approved, Part 1, Bible Study Tools, we will address these questions. Please share this podcast on your social network. This is Dr. Ben, signing off for now. At the name of Jesus, every knee shall bow.